Welcome to Soundbites, true stories told by local Mainers and nationally recognized storytellers. The themes are always changing and the hosts are from all over the nation, but when you hear the name Soundbites, you're in for a unique storytelling experience. Soundbites is made possible by the generous contributions of Allagash Brewing, Frontier, The Press Hotel, and by the listeners of Maine Public Radio. This story was told at Frontier in Brunswick, where the event's dedicated theme was Mum's the Word. Here's today's host, Vermont-based storyteller Kevin Gallagher.
So our next storyteller to the stage is Kari Wagner-Peck.
Conception, sonogram, delivery. My midlife crisis looked like what most people do with the first half of their life. I married my husband at 46, and I became a first-time mother at 49. 4 months after we graduated from our Department of Health and Human Services adoption classes, we were no closer to finding a kid. We hadn't even met with a caseworker. That became our singular goal. The answer came from my sister, Betty. You need to be unconventional. I know. These workers are mostly women, right? Right. What do women want, Kari? I don't know, Freud. What do women want? Sugar. Sugar? This is what you do. You get a sugary treat, you go to DHHS, and you say, we want a caseworker. What? These women have stressful, low-paying jobs, and they want sugar. They'll think I'm ridiculous. They'll think you have sugar. They want it. They won't question it. Okay, well, what do we get? Dunkin' Donuts, Munchkins. The 50-count box assorted. Shouldn't it be fancier? Why put on airs? I knew my husband was as beaten down as me when I called him up and said, we're going to crash DHHS with some donut holes. Yeah, right. See ya. Click. When we walked into DHHS, I noticed the woman behind the desk looked a little bit like Glenda the Good Witch. And I thought the Munchkins were a really awesome idea. She cocked her head and a mane of blonde curls fell over. May I help you? Yeah, you can. I set down the box of donut holes. There's 50 donut holes in here. We took your adoption classes. We want a kid, but we need an adoption worker. You get 6 to make a call so somebody will come down and talk to us, and whoever comes down gets the rest of them. You're serious, aren't you? She picked up the phone, and after her brief conversation, she set it down and assured us someone would be down shortly. She also asked if we would consider adopting her. Our moment of conception was my husband and I standing in our dining room listening to a voicemail from our new caseworker. Hi, guys. I met someone today who might be a match for you. He's 2 years old, he's beautiful, and he has Down syndrome. Let me know what you think. Let me know what you think. We said the biggest disability we could handle was a kid who was left-handed or maybe colorblind. Did she say Down syndrome? We better listen to that again. We listened to it 3 times until we were absolutely convinced she said Down syndrome. Warp put his arm around me. I don't know why, but that doesn't bother me. It doesn't bother me either. Why is that? I don't know. It's like Everyone has something. We just know what his something is. Do you feel calm? Because I feel calm. Yeah, I feel calm. Let's go with that. I called Linda the next day. We're interested. Great, I can tell you his name is Thorin. Oh, God, I love that name. Have you ever heard it before? Never. I would call this a low-risk adoption. He probably won't be returned. And that's what every expectant parent wants to hear. He probably won't be returned. Next, we told our family and friends. And this is where you find out what people actually think about Down syndrome. Nobody said anything like, awesome, congratulations. It was more like, why would you want to do that to yourself? Or that sounds hard. And even, please don't. A few weeks later, she emailed me a photo of Thorin. This was our sonogram. This was evidence that the boy we already love existed. Blonde hair, blue eyes. Suddenly, I was jolted into a forgotten memory. The first night Ward and I slept together, I had a dream, and Ward was holding a small boy. And he had blonde hair and blue eyes, and I knew he was our son. But the next morning, I didn't say anything, because I figured after a single night of passion, I would sound like Glenn Close in Fatal Attraction. Okay, that was a good response. Now seeing the photo, I felt that calm again. And I carried him everywhere. And I talked to him all day long. Mostly I said soon and hang on and I love you. Most people meet their child for the first time in a delivery room. We met ours in a single-story administrative building in a business park. Ward and I waited anxiously in the reception area with a caseworker, a case supervisor, a case manager, a lawyer, and an overly interested receptionist. Sherry, Thorin's foster mom for the last 14 months, walked in carrying him. What do you say the first time you meet your son? You want to go, I love you. I cannot believe this is happening. But you can't. So you just breathe. She walked towards us and we went to hug him, which meant pulling them both into us. We were immediately ushered into a conference room. I had to put my hands against the table to keep myself from floating away. Everyone sounded like they were talking underwater. How did they expect us to behave normally? Thorin started out in Sherry's lap, his foster mother. And then he crawled up on the table and he pushed himself over in front of us. And he looked at Ward. And then he looked at me and he went back and forth. And I realized we were being vetted. I was impressed. My thought was, our son has serious balls.
Kari Wagner-Peck authors the blog A Typical Son. She's an unschooling mom, author and activist storyteller. Her debut memoir, Not Always Happy, An Unusual Parenting Journey, was published last year in 2017. Her writing has been featured in the New York Times Well Family blog, the Sydney Morning Herald, the Huffington Post, the Good Men Project, and others. Not Always Happy is also a storytelling production. She won the Port Fringe 2017 Pulitzer for excellence in writing and premiered the full production at Portland Stage's studio series in November 2017. Thanks, Kari.
We went backstage before the show to catch up with today's storyteller, where they shared some personal tidbits not included in their story.
Kari, what got you interested in storytelling in the first place?
Our son. We adopted a 2-year-old boy from the Department of Health and Human Services here in Maine, and he has Down syndrome. And so I say I became a first-time parent at 49 and a disability activist at 50. So it's really that journey caused me to start telling stories to kind of change people's perceptions.
Sure. How old's your son now?
11.
Awesome. So lots of story experience.
Yeah.
Yeah. Great. And when you prepare to tell a story, what is your process? What do you go through in preparation for storytelling?
Well, first, I like to avoid rehearsing for long stretches. And then I complain about rehearsing. And then, you know, I live this. This story is true. I lived it. I wrote on it on my blog, and I published it in a book. So it's like, you know, I have access to it, and I think I just maybe wing it more than I should.
Why more than you should?
Because I think I might do better rehearsed.
Well, you could try it sometime.
I have rehearsed, and it's gone really well.
Okay, good. Now, as storytellers, we both know that sort of whatever we tell at an event is incomplete in some way. There's some parts or pieces that get left out, sometimes because they're personal, sometimes because there's not enough time. Is there something you'd like to entertain the audience, the listening audience, an aspect of your story that didn't get covered on the stage tonight?
Well, one of the things I'm going to talk about tonight is the first time I saw a photo of my son. And my immediate thought was, oh my gosh, she looks like Ward, my husband's brother, Andy. So when I talked to the adoption worker, I said, oh my God, Thorin looks just like Andy. And she goes, does he have Down syndrome too? And I said, no, he has green eyes and red hair. It was just like this automatic assumption, like that's the unifying characteristic. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I'm not telling that.
Thank you for telling us. And what's your connection to Maine? How does Maine fit in your big picture? It sounds like this is where you adopted your son from, but do you have other connections to Maine?
Well, no. I mean, I left graduate school 30 years ago, and my sister and I decided to move to Maine because we hadn't seen the ocean. And then we knew all the writers lived here. And so we've been here, you know. We're not Mainers, but my son is. I just came here for the ocean and other writers.
So an accidental Mainer.
An accidental Mainer.
Yeah. That might show up as a story someday.
It could be a good story.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you so much, Kari.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Soundbites is made possible by the generous contributions of Allagash Brewing, Frontier, The Press Hotel, and by the listeners of Maine Public Radio. Special thanks also to Toad & Co. More information about Soundbites, including how to attend a live storytelling event, is online at soundbitesme.org. And of course, you can always hear more stories at mainepublic.org.